getting to know some of you a little bit, and just appreciate your kindness and hospitality to us. I do appreciate what Pastor said. I'm aware that my messages can't help anybody. It's the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God using the Word of God in the hearts of the people of God. And so I'm excited to open Scripture tonight, and hope you're excited too. We ought to be excited anytime Scripture is open and we can learn from the Lord. And so I hope you're looking forward to that this evening. We will begin in Philippians chapter 3 in just a moment. And I want to look at three I must statements. And we'll kind of see what those are in a moment. Three I must statements. Maybe you've seen a sports competition before where it's clear that one team had not practiced together prior to the game. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but one team, you know, really looks like this well-oiled machine. Boy, they know where each other, know when each person's going to be, where they're going to be, when they're going to be there. They're clicking together, and then the other team looks like they grabbed them on the way into the arena, and they've never played together before. And of course, the team that's practiced a lot usually wipes the floor with them and you know, kills them. And I think about, you know, which team had more fun? And you say, well, it's the team that practiced together because they won. Well, yes, it's because they won. But there's, you know, a saying we use, the more work you put into something, the more you'll get out of it. And I believe it's the same way as we come to the Word of God. And I want the message tonight to really be something that'll help us to get more out of the Word of God during our devotional time when we're reading, during time when you're sitting under preaching, even during times of prayer. God, I want to get more from you. And here's three I must statements that I believe will help us to get more out of God's Word. Look, if you would, to start in verse 7 of chapter 3. In Ephesians 3, chapter 7, we'll begin, Ephesians 3 and verse 7, we'll begin reading there. Thank you. I was looking at this, and that didn't look right. I need you wherever I go. That's great. Okay, turn to Philippians. I was like, I have never read this before. It's not true, but okay. All right, Philippians chapter 3. This looks familiar. Here we go. All right, and starting in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that passage is a little more understandable for what we're talking about tonight. That did just remind me, I was preaching at a church in Indiana one time, and Pastor Madrid was asking me this afternoon if I had any funny evangelism stories, and I just remembered this one. I'd forgotten about this. But I was preaching, and I had something written in my notes that was wrong. It wasn't just that I read it wrong. I had it written in my notes wrong, and I had the complete wrong book for the passage. And so I told everybody, hey, turn over here. I think it was Judges. Yeah, it was Judges. So turn to Judges, and I start reading through this passage. And I started to realize something was just off when I started seeing names that I hadn't read in a while, and I said, I don't know how to pronounce this name, so I just kind of went through it. It's like, how did I gloss over this when I was studying? And I just this whole thing, and finally, it was talking about Ehud. You know, remember the judge Ehud, the left-handed judge that killed the, I think it was the king, and it was a very fat king, and it's a funny story. And we got through the whole thing, and I was like, that is not what I was talking about. And eventually we all worked it out. But funny things happen when you're trying to read your own notes or notes you wrote in the wrong place. But we're in the right passage now. Number one tonight, I must be honest. Look, if you would, again at verse 9. It says, "And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." It's interesting. He says, "And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness." Now, this is interesting because in the scripture right before it, we haven't read it yet, but it talks about how Paul is speaking here to the church at Philippi, and he speaks of how well he had kept the law. Essentially, what a good Jew he had been, what a good Pharisee he had been. Go ahead and look, if you would, at verse 4. He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." And then he begins to explain who he is and what he's done. He says in verse 5, "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." And so as far as the Jews were concerned, he had all the boxes checked. You know, he was a good guy. And yet, he considered all of that to be worthless. He said, if anybody had anything to boast about, I more. You know, I've done it better. And yet, he counted it all as nothing. Look at verse 7 again. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And I think of when Saul was on the road to Damascus. Perhaps you remember he was going there to persecute Christians. That was his purpose in going there. And as he's going along, the light shines down from heaven and the Lord speaks to him and asks him, you know, "Why are you persecuting me?" And we remember that Saul said, you know, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And Saul was converted there on the road to Damascus. And from that point on, he had to count everything that he had previously rested on as nothing for Christ. You know, the Pharisees, for believing in Jesus, the Pharisees would certainly reject him. They would no longer accept him as one of them. And so everything he previously considered as a reason to boast, "Hey, I did this good, I've done this, here's who I am, you know, this makes me a good person, all of that he had to set aside for what Christ was, and the fact that he had believed in Christ. He was no longer resting in the flesh. He was trusting in Jesus. Look again, if you would, at verse 8. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness." We need to be honest. Letter A under number one, we need to be honest why I am where I am. Why I am where I am. Paul recognized why he was where he was. He knew it wasn't anything he had accomplished. Before, what was he resting in? Everything he was, everything he had done. He was boasting in that. But now he recognized that all those things were lost. Those were worthless. It's only Christ and what Christ had done. You know, in 2 Corinthians, I love what it says in chapter 5 and verse 21, talks about how he, speaking of God the Father, made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Nothing we could have possibly done, but the fact that because of Christ dying in our place, we can be made the righteousness of God. You know, recognize that you are here tonight because of God's grace. I mentioned to some this morning in Sunday school, just that I've been thinking this past week how grateful I am for a godly heritage. People in my past, parents and grandparents and others who have given their lives to the Lord and therefore influenced me. You know, each person is responsible for their individual decision. You are responsible to make sure that you trust in Christ for salvation, that you follow Christ, that you obey him, all of these different things. But certainly some people are more set up to be able to do that easier. I think of people who were born into homes with drugs and immorality and parents that know nothing of God and all of these things. And then I think of others, maybe some of you who grew up in Christian homes where your parents loved God and served God and you went to church and you heard the truth of the word. You are here tonight because of God's grace. Whichever one you grew up in, you're here tonight because of God's grace, his goodness to us. We need to recognize that we are where we are because of God's grace to us and his goodness to us. It's too often that we can think ourselves, well, I'm in church every Sunday. I'm a good person now. And we think of what I've made of my life, you know, the goodness I've done for myself, and yet we forget that we are worthless, we're nothing, and that Christ is all. But secondly, or letter B, really, I'm not all I need to be. I need to be honest that I'm not all I need to be. Looking in, if you would, in verse 10, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So Paul recognizes that he's where he is because of God's grace, but he also recognizes that he's not good where he's at. He needs to keep pursuing. He needs to be, he hasn't finished his course yet. You know, don't fall into the trap of thinking you are done. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that you're satisfied where you're at. I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need to become any more like Christ. I don't need to you know, sometimes we can get into the thing, well, I've served God for so long, I'm gonna stay where I'm at for right now. I heard somebody speaking a while back about encouraging people, especially older people who've served God their entire life, to continue serving God. You know, we're never done serving God, and it's a wonderful thing that we can continue to serve God, and it's a special opportunity to do. You know, sometimes I think of a plane heading heavenward. It's heading up into the sky, and the pilot's sitting back there, and he's flying up, and he's going and going. And finally, he gets to a spot, and he thinks, well, this is a nice spot. This is very nice. You know, I think I'll just stop here. And so he cuts the engine, and he goes to sleep. Now, is the plane going to continue to go upwards? No. Is the plane going to just stay there? No. What's it going to do? Okay, it's going to go down. And really, that kind of describes the Christian life. We're either heading towards God, pursuing God, or we're falling away from God. There's no, I'm good where I'm at, I'm just going to stay right here. Anytime we try to stay right where we are, we're going to start to fall away from God. We need to be pursuing God, seeking him. Sometimes we can get satisfied with where we're at in our walk with Christ. We need to be honest that we're not where we need to be. We need to continue to grow. I could ask the question tonight, are you perfectly like Christ in every possible way? No. So, we need to keep growing. We need to become like Christ. That is what we ought to do. Look, if you would, at verses 10 through 13 again, and help me out here. What are a couple words that you see in those four verses there? Verses 10 through 13. A couple words that are repeated several times, kind of a pattern in those verses. It's Sunday night. You can say that whenever you find it. Any ideas? That is true. He does use that. A couple other words. Anybody? Okay, I heard it. Attain. Attain is one of them. And another word that's kind of the same thing, apprehend. Okay? So attain and apprehend, if you look at verses 10 through 13 there, he uses that. Paul uses that several times. Verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He wants to be apprehended for that which Christ apprehended him. And he's saying, hey, guys, I'm not there yet. Okay, I haven't attained yet. I'm not totally there yet, but I want to apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. You know, God has a plan for each one of our lives. He has a specific plan for you. He has certain things that he wants you to do and to pursue and all these different things. And we can think about, you know, what's God's will for my life and all these different things. And certainly God has a plan for you, but God apprehended us for something very specific. And I think we see it in this passage. God apprehended us that one day we might be in glory with him and that we might be like him. If you look back at verse 10, it says, that I may know him. If you look at later on in verses 13 and 14, he talks about how I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think of the song, I shall know him, I shall know him. When redeemed by his side, I shall stand. One day we will be like Jesus, and that'll be a wonderful day. But until then, that's what we're supposed to be coming like. That's what we're supposed to be pursuing, Christ-likeness. Looking forward to the day when we'll be perfectly like him. But each day that we are still here, we ought to be pursuing that. We ought to be pursuing to be just like Christ. And number one, I must be honest. Number two, I must keep growing. I must keep growing. Not only does Paul realize that where he is because of Christ and the fact that he's not all he needs to be, but he knows the way to get there is by growing. We talked about the song this morning that the kids sing, you know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow and grow and grow. I remember growing up and I wanted to wear a certain shirt, and I hadn't worn it in a long time. And if you know anything about shirts or any other article of clothing that you haven't worn in a long time, they're hard to find. It seems like they've just disappeared. If it's the sock, I'll just tell you right now, the washer and the dryer ate it. Pretty sure. But this was a shirt I wanted to wear, and you go and, you know, you're looking in the drawer, and you're trying to find it, and usually it's snuck behind the drawers, right? It fell back behind the wall. Well, eventually I found this shirt. I don't remember exactly where it was, but I found it, and I put it on, and the sleeves were like, you know, they're way up here. And I had grown way too much. I don't know how long it had been since I worn it. And I grew too much for the shirt. You know, the exciting thing about the Christian life, you can't grow too close to God. You can't grow too much. You're never done growing. Perhaps you've had the experience of reading a series or watching a series in a movie or whatever, and you get to the end, you get to the final page, and you think, oh, it's over. And you're so sad. I don't know if you've ever felt that before. I've felt that before. And you're just, oh, I just wish it would keep going. The Christian life is not like that. It continues. You're always growing closer to Christ on this earth, or at least we should be. You say, I know I'm not quite where I need to be yet. Okay, I recognize that. How do I grow? And what we talked about this morning is just a simple way. Hey, read your Bible, pray every day. If you're not doing that, that's the place to start. I must be humble. I must keep growing. Look, if you would, again at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I believe that Paul, of all things, wanted to be like Jesus. I think he wanted to be like his Savior. You know, if we had one thing that we could do in life, trying to be like Christ would be a wonderful thing to seek after. I want to be like Jesus was. And you know, when we grow in Christ's likeness, we'll have compassion for souls. We'll want to tell people about Jesus. We'll abhor sin, as we saw this morning, as we ought to. When we grow more and more like Christ, we'll do what we ought to do according to the Word of God. I think the closer we are to Christ, the more we'll learn to love him and his word. Notice what he said in verse 14. I press toward the mark. You know, that's not a passive thing. I don't know if you've ever watched the Olympics before, and you've seen the guys running the races, the 100 meter and the 400 meter, and they're running along, and what do they do? Are they just kind of jogging along? No, they're putting all their effort into it. They're giving it all their strength. And if it's at all close at the end, what are they doing? They're reaching out at the end. They're trying to kick something across the line. They're putting all their effort into it. They're in the middle of the game. They're not focused on anything except right there, that finish line. That's what their focus is on, and they're going wholeheartedly towards that goal. Could I ask, is that what your pursuit of God looks like? Or is it more like the elderly gentleman that goes down to the pond and he kind of throws a hook in and falls asleep and hopes when he wakes up there'll be something on the line? You know, sometimes we can act that way in our Christian life. Oh, I want to grow closer to God. I hope I become more Christ-like, and yet we never pursue God. We never put any effort into knowing God, knowing who He is. We never put any effort into putting aside things that prevent us from knowing God as we ought to. Are you pursuing a God actively? Are you pressing towards the mark? Number three, I must lead others. I must be honest. I must be growing. I must lead others. Look, if you would, at verse 17. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Paul here says to the church at Philippi, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. What of Paul do you think they might have been able to follow? So Paul here tells them, he says, be followers of me. What of Paul do you think they could have been able to follow? I think perhaps his teachings, obviously, that would be a pretty clear one. Maybe his attitude, his purpose, his goals in life, his love for others. Now, Paul was striving to be like Christ. I think that's evident. He's pursuing that goal. You know, it's a searching question that if I were to say to somebody, hey, be a follower of me, what would they look like? What would their life look like? If somebody followed what you do, what would their life look like? Would they be following someone who doesn't really meet with God on a regular basis, who gives into their flesh frequently, who is prideful, self-focused, who envies the wicked? Who is that what your follower would look like? Or would it be a faithfulness to being with God's people? Would it be a willingness to serve God, however? A desire to tell others about Jesus and getting into God's Word and talking about what Jesus is teaching us. What would your follower look like? If it wouldn't look like Christ's likeness, then we need to look at our own life. What about my life doesn't match up with Christ? How do I use my time? What do I put the most effort into? Are we pressing forward to be like Christ? Or are we content where we're at? I'm okay where I'm at. I've been here for a while. It's pretty comfortable. You know, we like comfort just about above anything else in life. You know, we think when we get home from work, we put on more comfortable clothes, right? You go to Walmart, you see people in their pajamas. They want to be comfortable. We have all sorts of inventions that are all for comfort. You got the heated steering wheels. You've got the heated seats. You got all sorts of automatic dispensers just to make our life that much easier. And we love comfort, don't we? But God doesn't call us to comfort. He calls us to press forward towards the mark. Do you want to be like Christ? I hope you do. And it may take some work. It may take getting off your comfortable seat and doing something for God, taking a step of faith forward to be like Christ. You know, it is God's will that we be like Him. Let's press forward. There is more for us to grow in. No matter what stage of life you are in, there is more for you to grow in being just like Christ. Lord, we do ask that you would help us to become just like you. Lord, there's so many areas in my life that I need to be growing in, Lord, that I need to continue to work on and being more Christ-like, Lord. And I know that comes as your Spirit lives through us. And I pray, God, that in each area of our lives, I pray that in each area of each person here this evening, Lord, that we would yield ourselves to the Spirit's control, Lord, that we would live a Christ-like life. God, I pray that we wouldn't be comfortable where we're at, but that we would be pursuing you, pursuing just knowing you better, Lord, obeying you in every area, God, and we would grow in Christ's likeness. I ask these things now, and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Madrid, I'm going to ask you to come, and thank you for your kind attention tonight, and I pray that you'd let the Word of God work in your hearts.